Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as they migrated from the east, they came upon a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and fire them thoroughly." And they had brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top in the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we shall be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth." The Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the mortals had built. And the Lord said, "Look, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. Nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and confuse their language there, so that they will not understand one another's speech." So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore it was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth, and from there the Lord scattered them abroad over the face of all the earth. This is the word of the Lord.
These two scriptures are linked together. One is the beginning, and one is what the end could look like, from Acts 2. But when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. These are the disciples and followers. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered, because each one of them speaking in the native tongue of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs. In our own language we hear from them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They are filled with new wine." This is the word of the Lord. So I want to ask you, do aliens exist? Do beings from other worlds visit us? There are hundreds of pictures and videos of unidentified flying object, UFOs, and they're taken every year. And lots of UFO hunters believe many of them could be proof of a visitation from aliens, or even a hidden conspiracy to hide aliens. Well, some of the photos and video have been debunked as fake. There are still dozens that have left even experts scratching their heads and wondering if we have been visited by creatures from another planet. However, one internet article — it comes from the internet, so you know it's true — one article said, okay, this is interactive, you can call it out. In which U.S. state — we're starting trivia time early — in which U.S. state have aliens found themselves feeling most at home? What state? California. We're East Coasters. Sorry, California. In total, there have been more than 120,000 UFOs spotted across the U.S. between 2001 and 2015, according to a book called UFO Sightings Desk Reference, United States of America, 2001-2015. During that time, the Golden State saw almost 16,000 unidentified flying objects. With, guess which county? With Los Angeles County serving as the most frequent reporting location. Apparently, there were 3,200 UFO sightings in Los Angeles County alone, and that number outranks the total number of sightings in the 40 other individual states combined. Now, I'm not at all adverse to the idea that there might be other worlds with intelligent life. God's a big God. Some days, I hope that the list of intelligent planets, planets that have intelligent life, will include Earth. But most days, I do think we're doing okay. Other days, I wonder if we are alone and we'll never find another life form that can communicate with us. What if we are alone? What if there is no one else up there in the inky blackness of space? What if there is no other place to which we can go and find such amiable conditions as we have here? What if we are stuck with each other and the decisions we've made or not addressed forever? If we must live with each other, I think I'd like to make a form of Pascal's wager. Now, Pascal was a French philosopher in the 17th century who posited that an intelligent person would wager that God exists. For if God does not exist, we have lost very little and we might have been kinder to each other. But if God does exist and we have ignored or tramples on God's law of love to love each other and God, we are probably going to be in trouble, possibly big trouble with God. And if there's anyone you do not want to get on the wrong side of, it's the creator of the universe, especially if there's nowhere else to go but right here. So my form of Pascal's wager posits that it's a good idea to wager that the Earth is it for us, that there are no other worlds for us, at least not today and possibly not in the near future. And unless the dolphins and whales start jumping in signal code and all the apes get really good at sign language, it's just you and me and the other Homo sapiens that are going to debate the fine points of genetic theory, the odds that the Commanders will ever win the Super Bowl, or the merits of this sermon. And if it's only us and it's only here, we'd better figure out how to live the love of God a lot better. We're going to have to learn to say, "I'm sorry." And we're going to have to learn how to love and forgive and be patient. We're going to have to learn to sacrifice for the sake of others and become better at listening to and respecting others who hold a different opinion than we do. What a concept. We're going to have to realize that we can't get everything we want, and we're going to have to learn not to throw the game board up in the air when we don't win. Because if it's only you and me, and it's only here, we're going to lose little in learning to love each other better, only to find out that there are other worlds that we can shuttle off to. And there are other beings that we can communicate with. But we will lose so much and do so much harm if we do not learn to love like Jesus and Earth and each other is all that we've got. Now, once upon a time in the Bible, as we heard, way back around the time of Noah and his descendants, we human beings decided that we were pretty cool and wonderful. In fact, we were so wonderful, we could do anything. We really didn't need God. This is after the flood, you know, you think, really? And to demonstrate that fact, we built a great Tower of Babel. And God looked upon our hubris and was not pleased. And so God decided that the idea of all of us being able to speak the same language was a bad idea, and God caused human beings to start speaking different languages. And so off we went into different groups, each with their own language and their own customs. We who were once one were now many. We who were once in unity fenced each other off from each other. And we who had been family to each other became strangers to each other. It was a hard punishment for disrespecting God. But then the time for redemption arrived and Jesus walked the earth. Jesus listened to us, taught us, healed us, and reminded us that we are all loved by God. After Jesus was resurrected to show the power and depth of God's love, the Spirit was sent. The next act of redemption was to bring us together again, to demonstrate our family connections as children of God. And so the Spirit blew like the wind. And as the Spirit touched those who were seeking diligently for God, they spoke in unknown languages. And as those who came to Jerusalem to celebrate the festival of first fruits, Pentecost, as they rushed to where the clamor of the Holy Spirit was occurring, they heard their own language being spoken by people who couldn't possibly know it. The Spirit made them one again and broke down the language barrier. For a time, they were all children of God, experiencing the glory and power of God together. Sisters and brothers, we are all one family, and we only have each other. And we only have right here and right now. Jesus challenged the political and religious elite to remind them that there is no slave and free. There is no Jew or Gentile. There is no Roman or Greek. There is only us. We are all beloved of God and need to take care of each other. And so I say to you, under God, there is no native-born and immigrant. There is no black or white or brown or yellow or red or any other race. There's only God's children. There's no gay or straight or trans or anything else. There is no Republican and Democrat, conservative and liberal, no independent. There's only us right here, right now, together, for better or worse, under God. Let's make it for better rather than for worse. Let us let go of the absurd expectations for each other that only God could fulfill. Let us put down the sharp swords of our tongues and the ridicule and relentless criticism. Certainly, we will disagree. But can we disagree in love? Jesus did. Let us learn to speak words of comfort and forgiveness and patience. For we each have God-given gifts that we need to combine together to make one whole. One whole family, one whole church, one whole community, one whole nation, one world, whole world. For God created us to live together in love and peace with justice and mercy. Right here, right now. For there are no other worlds but this one. And there is no one else but you and me and all God's children all over the world. Amen.